Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees Radio, The Fan.
All right, 103, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I just thought you might like Busta Rhymes. Had nothing to do with me being, you know, coming back late. I just thought you wanted to hear that song as long as possible.
We were having a nice chat. That break felt much shorter than it was.
I know, it was real quick. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Talking about the Mets, we'll get to the Yankees. We're still talking about the Mets and the disaster that was that weekend. And now I want to get into, I keep calling it the weekend because I was off today at the pool. I felt like it was the weekend. It's not the weekend. We're coming up on the weekend. Today's Friday.
That's the best feeling, though, because you have like a surprise basically for us, three-day weekend coming up.
No. Well, I mean, now that I work Saturdays, my three-day weekends are gone, but that's okay. And I'll be at Fanatics tomorrow. Looking forward to that. 9 a.m. again, the Saturday shows, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be live from the Javits Center in Fanatics. I have no idea what that show is going to look like. I have no idea if guests are going to come running through or not. I don't know. It's not, you know, I'm sure tomorrow for all the, I know all the shows are going to be there. BT and Sal are going to be there. Afternoon's Drive is going to be there. So, like, I'm sure they'll have all guests that are just popping around. I know there's going to be a lot of the baseball. I think the Yankees and Mets are going to be around tomorrow. Mendoza is going to be joining Rico Bronya right at the same time I'm on. So listen to me instead, and then go listen to the Rico Bronya. This freaking guy. Swear. Come on here, want to talk Mets. Evan's got to do his live Rico Bronya. Then I'm going to be at my first ever remote as a host. I looked to the website today. I went on the Fanatics website today to see what the schedule is for Saturday and who's going to be where and, like, what people are actually coming. There's, like, a whole schedule. They put out, like, a template of all the different people and what times they're going to be doing this and that, where they're going to be. And then, sure enough, 10 a.m. on the schedule is Evan Roberts, Rico Bronya. What about WFAN's Chris McMonagle? Nope. Didn't make the cut. Evan Roberts, Rico Bronya. Well, are we going to be sitting right next to each other? Where's he doing this from? I gotta talk to. Is he going to be like sitting right next to me while I'm doing the show and he's doing the Rico Bronya? I'm going to be sitting there like, you know, taking calls, talking about the Yankees like I always do, or talking about some, you know, talking about you know, some fun things that I talk on Saturday about, and just, you know, talking about movies, talking about Spaceballs too. And Mendoza's going to just be sitting next to me doing the Rico Bronya. I'll have to figure that out. But I will be live from Fanatics and the Javits Center on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that. It should be fun. But, you know, me and Fleas were talking about it a little bit. And it is interesting now because coming off of this three-game set, We've been talking about the offense. We've been talking about the pitching, and I'll get back to that. But I do find it interesting the dynamic between the Mets and the Braves and the Mets and the Phillies. And obviously, they took three of from Philadelphia early on in the year. Last year, obviously beat them in the postseason in the NLDS. And if you're watching that series against the Braves, like, we all know it, right? And the Mets know it. Yes, you know, Juan Soto is new. Clay Holmes is new to this. There's a lot of players who haven't experienced the disaster and the foot-to-ass experience of being an Atlanta Brave and being a New York Met. And as you're watching the games, I wonder, we put an importance on it. I know Met fans put an importance on it. You want to go beat the Braves, and they jump out to that lead early. And Juan Soto, the new addition to the team. And I know it's a little bit different with them being so far behind and having the struggles that they're having, but it felt like they win that game one of the doubleheader last year. They clinched the playoff spot in Atlanta. And you're looking to prove that this is no longer a place that's a problem for the New York Mets. And they take the lead. Juan Soto, the new addition to the team, obviously the biggest contract in sports. It's changed everything about baseball in this city and, you know, all the conversations we've had forever. Nah, blah, blah, blah. You know it. And he hits that home run. His first at bat being a Met versus an Atlanta Brave. You jump out to a big lead. Peterson's mowing him down. Not a big lead, but a three-run lead. Peterson's mowing him down. And then you blow it in the eighth. And I wonder, for guys like Alonso, who had a miserable series, other than a couple singles, but some strikeouts in this game, had an opportunity to drive in a run from third, didn't do it. You know, Nimmo, who's been a part of this. McNeil, who looked completely inept against Chris Sale. And I know a lot of people do, but had some miserable at-bats. They score one run in the series after the fifth inning in game one. They jump out to a 4-1 lead. Peterson is cruising. He comes out for the eighth. He walks the leadoff hitter. It falls apart. And I wonder if there is a little bit of here we go again. I wonder if there's a little bit of, man, every time we come here, and now we're facing Chris Sale tomorrow, and it just felt like everything was zapped from the confidence of the Mets after that eighth inning. And after that fifth inning, the offense scores one run the rest of the series. One run. On a base hit by Mauricio, who might have looked as bad as anybody else over this. It might be the worst at-bats of this series. And now the one positive thing moving forward after disaster in Atlanta, I talked the same about the Yankees and the Red Sox. You breathe life a little bit into the Atlanta Braves, a team that's dangerous. Make no mistake, they proved it tonight. They proved it this series. They're dangerous. Acuña's back. Don't throw him a fastball on the first pitch of the at-bat. I mean, that's clear. But, like, he's back. If Olsen can get hot, you know, Riley's having a down, has not been quite as good the last year or so, but he's a dangerous hitter. They've got a pretty damn good team. They got Chris Sale, who they're not trading. Strider's coming back. You know, Schellenbach, we just saw. And they were out of it, and you've breathed life into them. They're five games under 500 now. And if they can get to 500 by the All-Star break, they could become a threat again in this division, in the National League. And the Mets just helped them get there. And then you turn to Philadelphia, a team they've played much better against. A team they have now won a postseason series against recently and last year. A team they swept early on. They've played really well in Philadelphia. And I'm wondering if that's actually a positive. And this is what I said, you know, going into the break before. I actually could see this as a positive. Because Tidwell against Wheeler is such a dramatic, obvious, you can't have a worse pitching matchup. Wheeler is one of the best starters in the game, bar none. And, you know, Tidwell, he's making his second professional career start. And it wasn't very good the first one against St. Louis. And yet you walk in, the series is over. You're going to play Philadelphia. You've had a lot of success against. And if you could ever figure out a way, this is now, and if I were the Mets and, know, we talked a lot about the offense. If I'm Pete Alonso, if I'm Francisco Lindor, I don't know if I need a team meeting necessarily off of this six-game losing streak. I don't think we're there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I guess the Yankees weren't there either, but I don't think you're at a team meeting necessarily. But the Mets should be talking to themselves right now. They should be saying, we play well against this team, and it is time for the offense to carry this team. We're good enough. Let's go out there and pick up this staff who's injured and forcing a minor leaguer to make a start. Pick up this staff who deserves better. And carry the team for really the first time all year. And I joked coming back that me and Fleegs were talking about it. We were trying to go through it. Fleegs is telling me, a diehard Met fan, has there ever been a stretch this season? Has there been a series this season where the Mets offense has been the reason they've won it? That without question, they're the team. They're the part of the team that carried them through a series, through a stretch. Has there been one? Now, part of that is because the pitching has been so good that they made that difficult because the pitching's been so great, but the offense just hasn't been there. And I view tonight as an opportunity for this offense to say, hey, look, we know we're in a tough spot pitching-wise. We've got injuries. We've got guys who are naturally coming down and not going to, you know, continue to pitch the way they've pitched, and they have carried our asses the entire series. The entire season, rather. How about we go into Philadelphia, a place we have played well, a team that we have played well against, a team that we have owned now, a team that we ended their season despite being the division champs last year, in four in the ALDS. How about we go in there and kick the crap out of one of the best starting pitchers in baseball and make a statement that this offense is capable of carrying this team because they have not done it all year long. They haven't done it all year long. This starting rotation has gone above and beyond what anybody thought they could be. Above and beyond. Now, Mike was just talking about the innings. That's part of it. I mean, Clay Holmes has given them pretty good innings. Clay Holmes gets into the sixth innings most times. Obviously, Peterson has given them length, and Senga's been so dominant with a, you know, a sub-2 ERA that the innings haven't been great for him, but he's done enough. Like, he hasn't made it so heavy reliant on the bullpen. I mean, this starting rotation, in every way, shape, and form, even if you want to quibble with how many innings they throw, they've done everything they could possibly do. And the offense just has never been there to say, we got you. And for the first time in a calendar year, the starting rotation is begging for the offense to say, we got you. And what better way to start that than to go out there in Philly and take it to Zach Wheeler a night when you're throwing Blade Tidwell. Go out there and dominate this game and flip this script on it. Because I'll tell you right now, they win tonight. Like, it flips the script. Yankees won today. Nothing's flipped. They lost six in a row. They lost 3 out of 4 at home against the Angels. They found a way to score 7 runs and beat a lousy Angels team. Nothing flipped. They got to go out there and prove it again today. And not that the Mets won't have to go out there and prove it again the next day, but that's a real dynamic changer. They figure out a way to score a ton of runs and beat up on Zach Wheeler, or they figure out a way just to even scratch out enough going with Blade. They turn around and take the division lead back, beat the best of the Phillies, do it in their building, win now the first four games against Philly this season, and make a statement against Zach Wheeler. Suddenly, we all feel a hell of a lot better about the last six. Suddenly, we feel a hell of a lot better. It is time for this offense to step up. It is time for Juan Soto to step up. And I'm not, this isn't, you know, we get so hung up in this. This is not a Yankee fan trying to pick on Juan Soto. Juan Soto's been far better. Juan Soto's been on a hot streak. Juan Soto dominated Washington and dominated the Colorado Rockies, and he's going to end up having a really good season. Okay? We all know that. He hasn't yet carried the team. He just hasn't. He hasn't yet put the team on his back, and he's capable of it. Pete Alonso has. He needs to do it again. Lindor has. He needs to do it again. Because right now, this offense is, and this is the misconception. Like, we talk so much about the pitching lab, and whether, and the Mets don't necessarily. They don't come out and promote how great their pitching lab is all the time, but we do. Because the Mets have a defining characteristic about how they like to handle the rotation. They don't believe in necessarily investing a lot of capital and investing a lot of assets into starting pitchers because they get hurt. We just saw Corbin Burns. He's done that contract that everybody thought that was a good contract Arizona signed him for. It's a disaster now. He could be gone for the rest of this year and all of next year. That's a year and a half. I mean, you're lucky you get him back for September next year. And what are you going to get when you get him back? And so that's why I appreciate what the Mets are doing. I think eventually they're going to have to take a stand and hope to get an ace starting pitcher somewhere. Or take a chance and put some money into it. But right now, they have a defining characteristic, and that has led us to watching them build a rotation that none of us have a lot of confidence in, and yet it be the best in baseball. And so we talk about it with the pitching lab. The Mets aren't promoting that. But this pitching lab has, and this starting rotation in particular, has carried this team. And this offense needs to be there for their guys. And they know it. They all know it. They've talked about it. They know exactly what has carried this team, and they know exactly what their shortfallings have been. And it's been this offense. They need to figure it out. Juan Soto needs to come through and carry the team. He needs a big night against Wheeler. Alonso had a bunch of ugly at-bats against Sale, against Strider today, swinging at balls in the dirt. He needs to come through and help carry this team through this stretch right now and take it to Philadelphia. Because I'll tell you this right now, if they lose, like, how long can this losing streak go? No one would bat an eye that you lose a game against Wheeler while Tidwell's on the mound. That's 7. And now you're out of first place. I mean, where does it end? Because if this is an ugly series in Philadelphia, now you've got a problem. Because as much as you'd love to beat the Braves and as much as you'd love to flip that switch, you've struggled historically against them. It's one bad series. It's against the Braves team that is so far back that it's still hard to imagine them catching you. Right? The pitching has come apart a little bit. You excuse it. You move on. But if you head into Philly, your rival, the team that is now caught up 5.5 games in a week, and this 6-game losing streak becomes 7, 8, 9, you're out of first place. One, or depending on if you lose 2 out of 3, you're down 1. If you get swept, you're down 3. Suddenly the feeling around this team dramatically changes. It's one thing to lose to the Braves. It's one thing to have an ugly series. It sucks. It's frustrating. It pisses you off. They're not as good this year. You expect it to go in there and dominate, and to have it feel the same way it's always felt is disheartening and deflating. And I'm wondering if the team felt that. The Alonzos of the world, the Nimmos, the guys who have been here getting their ass kicked by the Braves all these years. I wonder if that first game led into the next two. But they have played well against Philly. This is a huge series, a big game, and right now it is time, plain and simple. This is really it. Right there, they got to play smarter. You can't make mistakes on the base paths that they've made over the last couple of games. You know, I don't think they will. It hasn't really been an issue for this team all that much, but it happened during this series. You got to clean that up. Everything that goes without saying. Clearly, you want to pitch well, bullpen. But to me, there is one part of this team I'm looking at this weekend. The offense has got to score runs. Plain and simple. I don't know what you're going to get. Certainly not tomorrow, not tonight. From the pitching, I have no idea what they're going to get. They're going to have to step up and score runs. I'm looking at the offense. This is a moment against Philadelphia that this offense has to step up. And for the first time all year, put the pitching staff on their back and say, just keep it close. Let's bring out the Nick mantra. As we watch a team make it to the NBA Game 7 of the NBA Finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who nobody thought they would have a chance in this series. A team that now Tibbs was fired for not beating, yet they might be NBA champions. I'm telling you right now, we'll get to this in a little bit. If the Indiana Pacers are holding that trophy Sunday night, I am going to be absolutely livid that we are in the middle of hiring Mike Brown. I'm just telling you. They fired Tibbs because he couldn't beat the Pacers, and now they might very well, after blowing out Oklahoma City in Game 6, they might very well win the NBA championship against a team that was, without question, the best team in the NBA all year, favored through the roof again. Nobody thought they would lose the series. Nobody thought it would go nearly this far. But I'm just saying, we'll get to it. We'll get to the Knicks coaching search. But let's see if the Mets can pull a Knicks and see if we can keep that mantra that we were saying every single game in the Knicks playoff series, the playoff run. Keep it close. That's what the Mets should be telling Tidwell and every other pitcher that's on the mound. Give us a chance because we got you. Just give us a chance and we got you. Because honestly, it's about freaking time. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Come back. Take your calls as we got you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. You can also hit me up on Twitter at CMAC. WFAN, talking a little bit of Mets. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll talk a little bit more about the Knicks coaching search and the idea that we could be staring at the Indiana Pacers as NBA champions. We could talk a little football. The Giants, Paul DePino and Schmelk had the Giants show before. I heard a little bit of what's gone on in minicamp. I was told, how about this? I was told in Warwick, I talk about where I live a lot, especially when I was with Craig and Evan. We talked about Warwick a lot. I went to my son's flag football game on Wednesday, and I was told that on Monday night, Sauce Gardner was there, and that he might have family in Warwick, and he was watching some relatives play. How about that? Sauce Gardner in Warwick. Got to see if he wants to hang out. I think he's going to...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get a new contract.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 1:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Been talking about the Mets, let's just get to your Met phone calls, 888-808-1019. Sal in North Haldon, New Jersey, what's up?
Hey, C-Mac, pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
I had a little bit of a different take on that at my first game in the Atlanta series.
Okay.
I'll start off by saying I'm a huge Buck Showalter fan. And I used to love how he ran the bullpen where stats didn't matter and your best pitchers pitched in the biggest spots. It didn't matter if Diaz was needed in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, wherever that most important spot was. And I feel like after getting swept by Tampa Bay, that first game was the most important game in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the eighth inning, when after Peterson walked the eight hitter, you know you got your top of the order coming up, that would have been the perfect spot for me to throw in Diaz, even though Garrett's been outstanding all year. Yeah. And you know, but I just feel like that was the time that you had the shutdown guy, put Diaz in there, let him shut it down, and let Garrett pitch the ninth inning. that, which would have been perfect. I mean, and then so many times you see you putting Diaz in. Why Diaz pitched the ninth inning against the 7, 8, 9 hitters, and then the 10th inning when the top of the order comes in, you got Brazoban or all these other guys coming in.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll say about Buck, except not throwing Zach Britton in an elimination playoff game. That's the one thing about Buck. I mean, he left Zach Britton on the bench as they lost the playoff game. But okay.
Right.
Other than that, they definitely used Diaz in 22 in a bunch of different scenarios. And you could argue that if you're tied to throw another reliever in the ninth, typically you could throw a closer there. But if you want to, with the new rule, you want your best pitcher strikeout guy with the runner on in the 10th if you get there. You want to shut down the ninth and give yourself a chance to win the game. Like, it's tough. But
I just feel like the bottom of the order coming up, that would have been a better spot for somebody else to go in there. And then with a guy on second base, I mean, Diaz just went through a stretch where, what was it? He got out 30 guys in a row, and it was like 33 of 34, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You got a guy with no hit stuff that you put him in there with the guy on second base.
I hear you. Listen, Reed Garrett's been really great. I don't disagree with you that you could make an argument. You want to make sure you win that game right then and there. Again, they're up 3 runs with 2 runners on. I know the tying run's at the plate. Garrett doesn't give up a lot of home runs. It's not like you're in a spot where one hit beats you. Like, as long as Garrett gets 3 outs, even if he gives up the 2 runs, like, you're still in the lead. If it's a 1-run game, I'm more inclined to go with your line of thought because you really want to make sure. And if it's a 1-run game, maybe you don't even let Peterson come out for the 8th. I don't know. But with a 3-run lead, to have the tying run at the plate when I bring in Reed Garrett, all he has to do is, you know, get 3 outs, even if he gives up the 2 runs on base. I don't hate it. I understand your point. And it's very easy to just casually say, and then the ninth would have been fine. You have no idea what Reed Garrett does in the ninth. Like, we don't know. But I don't disagree with the sentiment of using Diaz in some big spots, and that Buck certainly did do that 2 years ago more than, you know, we have seen even other teams. I felt like he really did that a lot. Yeah, I mean, he learned from the Britton mistake. That's why. Yeah, so he would never go down again without Diaz. And Diaz was Diaz has been really good this year, no doubt. But it was special. When the trumpets hit 2 years ago, it was a thing. So I don't disagree with what you're saying. I could see that point. I don't know if I can kill Mendoza for it. Again, it's not like if it's a 1-run game and you need strikeouts or you need clear-cut dominance. Like, Reed Garrett's been really good, and he's been really good at getting out of jams. Like, that's his specialty. So I have no problem going to Reed Garrett there. I don't. They lost the game. It just, you know, the bullpen blew it. They had opportunities to score more runs. Like, that's part of it, too. And honestly, Peterson, as great as he is, you can't walk Allen. You just can't walk him to start that inning. You can't do it. Groove a fastball. You cannot walk him. So I hear what you're saying. But I still don't know, and I should have kept John to ask you this question. You said you have a different perspective on that first game. Okay. I blame the offense, and I blame David Peterson more than I blame Mendoza for not going to Diaz. Fine. Okay, so we could differ on what you would have done to try and lock down the game, but my perspective is that kind of turned the series. And so, yeah, I mean, we kind of share the perspective. You wanted to treat that game with more urgency and make sure that they get out of that inning and bring in their best pitcher, because I think we agree that that game kind of changed the series. And yeah, you're coming off a 3-game losing streak. You never want to make it 4. They hadn't lost 4 at any point this year prior. I think he trusts his guys. And Reed Garrett's been really good at that. And he's had more experience coming in with runners on than Diaz does. Not to say Diaz can't do it, but I have no problem trusting Reed Garrett. Do you have a problem going to Reed Garrett in that spot?
No, and I do understand. Like, I would... If you had to tell me either Diaz comes in there or you save Diaz for the 10th, I'm I would prefer use Diaz in the eighth, but Garrett can warm up quicker. And, I mean, he almost got out of it. He was one pitch away. He got the two outs. The run hadn't, not a run had scored yet.
Right.
And he's almost out of it.
No. And it's not even just giving up a hit. He gives up the double down the line. It's the worst. Other than the home run, it's the worst thing that could happen. So,
and I agree. Like that inning, the moment where I, as the Met fan, had the panic of, oh no, was when David Peterson walked a nine-hitter. No matter who it is, hitting ninth in front of Ronald Acuña Jr.
Yeah.
That's the moment.
Yep. No, I put that more on Peterson than anything that followed. I agree.
And it's not to crush Peterson because he's been unbelievable.
No, of course.
It's just that was the moment that swung the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Reed Garrett, would, just like Edwin Diaz would have been, and we've seen Diaz come in and walk the first two guys.
Sure.
That's what put them in a tough spot.
No
but like
doubt.
You said, it all comes down to if the offense could have done anything after the fifth inning in the first game of this series, then we're not talking about any of this.
No, 100%. We're not talking about it. And then, from the fifth inning on, they score one run in the series. One run. That's just not good enough. It's not good enough. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Isaac in Brooklyn. What's up, Isaac?
Chris, thanks for taking this call.
You got it, buddy.
Just help me understand something here. The Knicks fire Tibbs, and everybody's saying that it was Dolan. It's not Leon Rose. He's his agent, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Let me remind people, it happened about a month ago, and the same team that plays in the same building that's owned by the same owner fired their coach, had a plan, went and hired a Stanley Cup champion, Mike Sullivan. Mm-hmm. Meaning they knew exactly what they were doing when they fired their head coach because they had a plan. And Dolan, as the owner, had to have been on board with that. You're going to tell me, just help me understand this, that people are saying James Dolan fired Tibbs without a plan when a month ago we saw the Rangers make a, I don't know if it's a brilliant move, he never coached the team yet, but it seems like a great move. And on impulse, when they fired Tibbs, it was Dolan. Everybody's going to blame Dolan. Maybe it was Leon Rose because Leon Rose didn't want to take the fall for Tibbs not coaching because he was really the one who brought Townsend. He was the one who put this team together, and to buy himself an extra year or two, it was probably Leon Rose. I have a hard time buying that the owner of, two teams in the same building, one made a great move and one made a terrible move just based off impulse. I don't understand how people are saying it's Dolan. I think Leon Rose is just trying to cover himself to buy him more time. That's what I think, Chris. I don't get it.
Yeah, Isaac, thank you for the call. I don't think you can correlate what happened with the Rangers and what happens with the Knicks and say, well, James Dolan had a plan in one, and so clearly he would have a plan in another. It was a different situation. Laviolette just coached a team that had a huge disappointing season. That was not a surprise. We all knew the coach was going to be fired for 2 months. It's easy to come up with a plan when you know you're going to make a change late in the year. The Knicks didn't know that. The Knicks were a couple games away from going to the NBA Finals and not making a change. The Knicks might have been a couple of exit interviews different from not making a change for all we know. Like, Tibbs was coaching them to a 50-win season while Laviolette was having them have the worst year and most disappointing season in recent Ranger memory. Like, it was falling apart. They knew they were making a change. It's not quite the same thing. And just because, you could just say, like, even if Dolan didn't have anything to do with either. Like, you're saying with one, like you're saying James Dolan made the coaching decision with the Rangers, and because that looked competent, it's clearly not him making the coaching decision with the Knicks. It might be neither. It might be both. I don't know. It's probably, I don't know how much he had to do with the Rangers. I don't think he cares as much. He has traditionally not been as hand-on with the Rangers. He's let, Glenn Sather kind of run that thing forever. And now I think he has full confidence in Chris Drury, and he lets Drury make decisions. And again, they had a guy in Sullivan who was with the organization, who was on the bench for years and saw an opportunity to come back and coach, an original six team that he has a relationship with, and the time had come and gone with Pittsburgh. But I don't know if you can make a correlation. Well, the Rangers acted this way, and so that proves that the Knicks couldn't have acted this way if it was the same people making the decisions. I have no idea. I can tell you this. I think there is a strong indication that the owner was involved in the firing of Tibbs. The reports are he was running the exit meetings, and I think the exit meetings had a lot to do with this. I am not saying Leon Rose fought it tooth and nail. I'm not saying Leon Rose said absolutely not and then was just overruled. Leon Rose might have felt the same way. Leon Rose might have been easily convinced, even if he wasn't sure he wanted to do it. Like, I don't know if it happens without Leon Rose at least being okay with it. I think if Leon Rose said, absolutely not, you're not firing my coach, I honestly don't think he'd be fired. I think Leon Rose has enough power in the organization where he would have said, James, or Jim, or whatever he calls James Dolan, Mr. Dolan, I have turned this franchise around for you. You've brought me in here. I know you pay me gobs of money. We don't even know how much it is. It's reportedly crazy amount of money. But I have done it for you. I've succeeded where Phil Jackson has failed. I've succeeded where everyone else has failed for 20 years. I have turned this thing around. You see the Garden? See how much money people are paying to get in here? We're in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. Don't walk into my office and tell me I'm firing the coach. Like, I honestly think that is a plausible scenario. And I don't think James Dolan would have the balls to I honestly don't. I think James Dolan would be like, okay, I'm going to fire Leon Rose. He's ran the I've had the darndest time. I don't know why I spoke like, you know, a 50 sitcom there. But I've had the darndest time trying to get somebody to run this organization. I finally get Leon Rose to do it and do it well, and we've turned this whole thing around, and I'm going to fire him because he won't fire the coach? That's where I have a tough time with it. So I'm not saying that James Dolan wasn't heavily involved. I'm not even saying James Dolan wasn't the real impetus for it all happening. In fact, now I'm at the point where I think it was. But I do believe Leon Rose was either in agreeance or easily enough convinced that it was the right thing. I don't think they're at odds on the decision. Put it that way. I don't think they're at odds on the decision. I don't think Leon Rose told him absolutely not, and he said, I don't care, I'm the owner, you're doing what I say. I doubt very much that's how it went down. I do think James Dolan probably was the guy who said, look, this needs to happen. Listen to the players. We got to do it. As much as you don't want to do it, Leon, we got to do it. And I think he probably convinced Leon Rose. But I don't think Leon Rose sits here today wishing he didn't fire Tibbs. I think they came to a conclusion together. But whoever fired him, again, the next coach has to beat possibly the defending NBA champions in the Indiana Pacers. Like, if they, I'm just telling you, man, I know that there are many Knicks fans who thinks this had to happen. I was listening to, on Saturday afternoons, after my Saturday show the last couple weeks, Anthony Gallo, the great Anthony Gallo, digital team, he's been hosting on Saturday afternoons after me, and I've listened to him, and he's been very passionate that he believes Tibbs should have been fired, that the offense was unimaginative. There wasn't a lot going on there. You need to find guys who can make it work with him and Carl Anthony Towns. And it's, you know, Tibbs does nothing. He doesn't know when to call timeouts, then blah, blah, blah. Like, he's been very passionate. He makes good points. A lot of guys do. A lot of the people who think, Duncan from Newark, who constantly calls up and gets dominated by me, he makes good points along the way. And anyone who thinks Tibbs should have been fired, Tiki, Brandon Tierney, and they all make valid points. I'm not saying it's an absolute insane decision, but I'll tell you this. If he got fired because he can't beat the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder can't do it either, I'm going to be really pissed off. That they didn't have... Like, we talk about the idea that they have all this time for a coaching search. They also had all this time to make up their minds on firing the coach. If the Indiana Pacers go on a team, how could you lose to the Indiana Pacers? You were favored in that series. They had every opportunity. How can you beat Boston and then turn around and lose to the Indiana Pacers? What a joke. What a disaster. You were favored in that series. You had home court advantage. You blew a big lead in game one. The Oklahoma City Thunder were bigger favorites against the Indiana Pacers. The Oklahoma City Thunder blew a lead in game number one. The Oklahoma City Thunder had home court advantage. And they are one game away. Now, look, do I think Oklahoma City is going to win the game? I do. But if they lose it, and the Indiana Pacers, and Halliburton, and Siakam, and Carlisle are NBA champions, and the Knicks are going through one of the more publicly, and I know many people disagree with this, I don't know how you do, one of the more publicly embarrassing coaching searches I can remember off of firing a great head coach. And we fired him because, you know, the bench players didn't, you know, the great Tyler Kolek didn't play enough, or Shamet didn't play enough, and players didn't know their roles as they walked over the defending champion Boston Celtics. And because they couldn't beat the now NBA champion Indiana Pacers, it's going to make it look even worse. Even worse. Even worse. I don't, as they're talking to Mike Brown, as they're talking to Taylor Jenkins, those are the first, that's the top of the list. Well, not, I'm sorry, it's the top of the second tier. The first tier is half the league who have jobs already. Then they got to the tier of guys who could actually take the job, and it's Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins. Because Tibbs couldn't beat the same team that the best team in the NBA all year couldn't beat. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow. I don't know how you could see it any different. Let's go back to the baseball calls, though, with Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on? What's good, Big Daddy C-Mac?
Oh, Big Daddy C-Mac. You know, that's my wrestling name with my sons is Big Daddy Hot Stuff. So
not to scare you. Not to scare you. I didn't know that. You name it. I just, you know, you got K-Mac, and then you got C-Mac. Mm-hmm. So I hit C-Mac because he's only a year older than me and like some change. So I hit him with the stuff back when we were first in college with the year. And with you, I call you Big Daddy because
gotcha. You
older than me. You like basically my friend's older brothers, because I had an older brother who was generally disabled by 1 year older than me. So I didn't have that, like, 5 to 10 year older brother to show me the way, you know. But anyway,
I'm happy to be that older brother for you.
In essence. So, yeah. So yeah. I look at you like an elder. I have to respect you that way. So I call you Big Daddy.
Gotcha.
But for what it's worth, yeah, no doubt. For what it's worth, I want to talk a little bit about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Let's get in the win column. These are games in June, not in October. So
yes.
The fire boom, fire Cashman, whether we're chills or not, I'm not saying for it to chill. People have their opinions, but once again, that's baseball, Susan. Everybody can slump at one time, just like for basically, besides this past 6 days, everybody was on fire. So there has to be a trade-off, law of averages. And for the Mets fans, calm down. You really haven't been hitting all season. You've been pitching out of your mind. But here's the thing. Just like for the Yankees and every team in baseball, unless you're the Rockies this year or the White Sox last year, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. In those other games, what you do with sports being 90% mental and the 10% physical by certain players on your team to overexcel and overperform and be all-stars and superstars or just be super clutch, that's going to determine what you do. Because as we know, around the trade deadline or maybe a month before, there's approximately 14 to 16 teams in it, and about 2/3 of them make trades to go for it, like the Mets did last year when they were on the cusp. So, and now you're the hunted, like I've been mentioning on the Fan all this time. So if you want to claim, not even Big Brother, but if you want to be a contender and say, we're better than the Dodgers, we're going to beat them, like you have already in the regular season, won the season series, you have to understand teams underneath you at the bottom barrel are going to treat you like it's their World Series until they're on your level with their record or their playoff positioning. And that's all I have to say.
All right, Moose, thank you for the call. I'm not kind of sure what your second point was with the Mets. You kind of just, you know, talked about the standings. And, yeah, listen, it's six games. if the point is calm down these games, I've been saying that with the Yankees too. It goes for both teams. I don't view these games in June, no matter what the issues are. And honestly, both teams made terrible mistakes this year, this series. And again, you know me. I don't know why like the Yankee shill stuff. Positive Tommy says the dumb, like, goes absolutely crazy. Nobody calls him a shill. All I'm saying is the freaking Yankees win a lot, do they not? But yet we hate these guys. Why do we hate them? That's all I'm asking. I'm not a shill. I'm not saying they can't be wrong. I was critical of Boone's decisions the other day and taking the bunt off for Trent Grisham. I hated it. He's not perfect, but he's got a top 10 in the history of baseball winning percentage for the first 8 years of a managerial career in the history of baseball. They win a lot. I just don't hate them. They win too much to hate. I don't know why we hate them. Frustrated, disappointed, not good enough. At the end of 2023, I still said probably good time to move on from Cashman and Boone. Cashman doesn't have a contract. It's kind of gotten toxic with the fan base. He did a terrible job last year building this roster, because I know Judge went down. They probably still would have made the playoffs, but that team wasn't winning anything. Let's be fair. Like they had, you know, Willie Calhoun was hitting the middle of the lineup for half the year. Like, they just weren't very good. And I said, you know what? It seems like a good time for a clean break. Don't give him another contract. They did. I didn't think it was a disaster. I didn't think they were doomed. And they went to the World Series the next year. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know that it's a trend with the mistakes the Yankees made, and we saw another one today. But I'm sorry. Call me crazy. I don't blame a manager when a guy gets picked off of first base, first and second, two outs on a full count. He knows he's going. He has been coached not to take off until the ball is pitched his entire life. He is a professional athlete. That is not on Boone. Just like it's not on Mendoza when the catcher touches the ball with his mask. That's not on Mendoza. It's not on Mendoza, and nobody seems to accuse him of this. No, I haven't heard one caller, and I know it's multiple years with the Yankees, but the bottom line is these mistakes either are reflections of the manager or they're not. And you need them to be benched or taken out of the game, or you don't. Plain and simple. And I haven't heard one person, not one, not a radio host, not a guy on SNY, not a caller, not a single person has said what is going on with Mendoza and this ship that he's running, that all these mistakes are made. And they made a bunch. Not one person has said a damn word about Mendoza. It's like, man, that's a terrible mistake by Pete. Oh, my God, you can't do that if you're Torrens. You can't do that if you're Alvarez throwing behind the base. Nobody says, didn't they coach him not to throw behind the base? Didn't they coach him not to throw behind the runner? Didn't they coach him? Does he even know the rules that he can't touch it with his helmet? Where the hell's Mendoza making sure he knows he can't touch it with his helmet? How does Pete Alonso get picked off, doubled off of first base on a line drive across the infield? Where's the first base coach? Where's Mendoza? I mean, you got to take Alonso out of the game. You got to bench Alvarez. You got to bench Torrens. What did Mendoza say at the end of the game? That it was okay to throw to second base because the runner was going back? What? You got to bench Alvarez. Send him to the minors. They did say that. But yet everything that happens to the New York Yankees is the manager is creating an atmosphere like it's okay. Like Volpe makes it, if Volpe had a manager who criticized them publicly, he wouldn't have made an error. It drives me crazy. That's it. That's where I get my Yankee shill stuff from, is there's a hatred and an over-exaggeration on the ills of the Yankees belonging at the foot of the manager. And I push back on it. That's it. And it drives me nuts. Like even today in the win, Wells made a terrible base running decision, a god-awful base running decision. And the Yankees, and this is like for 68 games of the season before the Red Sox series, for 68 games, they led Major League Baseball. I have to check to see if it's still the case. They led. They were tied. But nobody had had less outs on the bases than the New York Yankees. For 68 games, they buttoned it up all year. You know why? Not because Boone's doing anything different. Not because Boone's having a different atmosphere or he's coaching different or holding players accountable different. They changed the roster and brought in players who were better fundamentally. They got rid of Gleyber Torres. They brought in guys like Bellinger and Goldschmidt. And they were better at it because the players are better at it. Now, is it disappointing that they started to struggle and out came the same issues? No doubt. And I talked about that. When they press, and to me, this is the biggest issue with the Boone teams. Not even so much the Boone swoons and the June swoons and all that stuff. When they sense it, when we feel it, when they feel it, the Red Sox series, a losing streak, things start to trend in the wrong direction. I think the team either presses or is too comfortable. But I think the mistakes on the field are about pressing and wanting to do too much. Wells wants to make sure he gets a good jump where if the ball's hitting the gap, he could score because he's not a speedy runner. It's a mistake. But it belongs to Wells, not the manager. Just like Mendoza isn't the reason Torrens touched the ball with his helmet and literally gave the Atlanta Braves a run.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.